You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins is brought to you by James H. Brown and Associates, Alberta Injury Lawyers. Go to jameshbrown.com.
I was waiting for Van Halen.
You know what? I have the Van Halen in the next one, Reed. Sorry.
We need one there, too.
Oh, you know what?
So when you get to be on Inside Sports, you get to play a song the middle of the half hours and coming out of the bottom hour news, Jeff.
Oh, man. Yeah, okay. I messed it up.
No, that's
okay. I messed
it up. Now you know for next time.
Okay, Reed, we'll take care of that next time.
We like the rock and roll on this.
You know what? And I love the Van Halen, right? So, you know, like, I let us all down. I let Eddie Van Halen down.
No, that's okay. We need a little bit of a music bed there, too. That's
okay.
All right.
All righty.
Lightning and Panthers 2-2 after 2. Rangers just scored. The Capitals just scored. Rangers are up 4-3 with 7 minutes left. By the way, in that Lightning-Panthers game, Bobrovsky made a shocking save off Dumba. Bobrovsky got turned around in the net. His back was to the front of the net. He threw out his left arm, and he made the save with his left wrist. Avalanche and Jets about to get underway. Predators and Canucks in half an hour. Demko hurt, won't play for Vancouver. Blue Jays trailing the Royals now, 3-2 in the seventh. In the NBA, T-Wolves up 77-69 on the Suns late in the third. Halftime, Pacers lead the Bucks 60-55. You can get in touch, 780-496-0063. I got an email here, insidesports@630ched.com, by the way, is the email. And Jeff, we'll get to some of your better messages that you've received as well tonight. Got a email here from Lewis, who says, hey, Reed, thanks for answering the listener's question about who's doing the play-by-play on television. Lewis goes on to say, I think where people get frustrated is when they see Shorthouse, who is the regular Canucks guy, doing the first round. Cuthbert is the regular Leafs guy. He gets his team. And when Calgary makes the playoffs, Rick Ball does the first round. So I get it. Jack does the Oilers games, again, most of the, he does all the regional games all season. I think he does in the high 60s on TV, and Mooner does all those on radio. So they're saying, how come these other teams keep their guy? Again, I think it's because Harna Ryan does a lot of the Oilers national games during the year, especially when they're at home, and probably something into it as well that, like I said, Harna Ryan lives in Alberta, so they're not flying him across the country to do other games. And yes, I know there have been other guys who have traveled, and Cuthbert travels too. I mean, Cuthbert is kind of both the Leafs regional guy and the number one national guy for Hockey Night in Canada. I mean, when the Oilers were in the, I'm trying to think now, Cuthbert did both the Battle of Alberta and the West Final 2 years ago, did he not? Or was Harna Ryan still doing the... Who did the Battle of Alberta on TV? Do you remember? I'm trying to picture McDavid's overtime goal. I'm pretty sure Cuthbert called that. So once the Canadian teams get whittled down, Cuthbert gets the main series involving a Canadian team if the Leafs are out, right? I'm pretty sure Cuthbert called that game.
I'm pretty sure he did as well, Reed.
But I'm 100% positive. I'm 100% positive that Cuthbert called the West Final 2 years ago because he came and did an interview with me in Studio 99 on the Faceoff show. Last year, the Leafs won a round, so I believe Harna Ryan did both TV rounds, and we had Jack on the radio. I should say, whether it's Jack or Cam on the radio, I'm perfectly happy because they're both great guests on the Faceoff show, and they're both outstanding play-by-play people. So I hope I'm explaining that to you as best I can. Again, I'm not sure how Sportsnet makes the decisions or where they're going to, how they decide which series Harna Ryan is going to get assigned. I think there's some regional thinking behind that. But hey, I saw Jack post it yesterday. If you want to hear Jack still call the games, you can listen on your radio or on the radio player app and sync up the TV with what is ever coming out of your phone or your computer, and you're good to go. So there we go. All right, 780-496-0063. Jeff, what else do we have coming in?
Well, we have a couple of texts. First off, I'm going to start with one from Tube Socks. He's my buddy.
Oh, really?
Tube Socks says, come on, Jeff, be better.
Is Tube Socks actually your friend?
Yes, I love Tube Socks. He's the man.
And I hope that's a nickname.
Yeah, as far as I know, it is. Right? That's
his real name. That's a great nickname. How did he get that nickname? Are you allowed to share that?
You know, I don't know how he got that nickname. Maybe he'll text in here and let me know. But yeah, he's my buddy. He's given it to me for failing on Van Halen.
You didn't fail. I just gave you some coaching. And we like to hear as much Halen as possible.
You know what? And you're right. I'm a little disappointed in myself. I'm not going to lie to you.
Moving on
there.
From it.
Yeah, we're going to go on. Everything's okay here.
You're right? It behind you.
Yeah, and then we have, let's see here. We actually have someone defending Harna Ryan as well on the text line. He's a lifelong Oil fan from Brooks, loves Gretzky, and maybe they gave him the Oilers broadcast because he asked for it. There's no name on that text
there. I should say, first of all, I don't think anything I said was a criticism of Harna Ryan, and I didn't take any of the questions about that as a criticism of Harna Ryan.
Oh, yeah, no, definitely.
I took that as the questions being, how come other teams get their regional guy and the Oilers don't? Well, Harna Ryan's a great guy, and yes, he is an Oilers fan. I mean, I've interviewed him as well. I think the question was more, I don't think anybody was writing in saying we don't like Harna Ryan. I think people were writing in and saying we miss the familiarity of Jack, as opposed to knocking down the guy who is calling the games. And Harna Ryan does a great job.
He really does do a great job. He actually, I'm glad that he's calling that series. Like, don't get me wrong, I love Jack, but I love Jack on 630 Jet as well, right? So you still get your Jack if you want it. But I love the way he calls games as well. We also have a text here from Dilbert. And Dilbert, this is going back to your confidence question at the beginning of the show.
Great comic strip.
And Dilbert says, my confidence went up by 2 cans of ham from 7 to 9 out of 10 canned hams. That's how confident he is.
That's pretty
right
good.
Now.
Ask Dilbert if he wants a shirt. We're trying to get rid of this incarnation of shirts. We've had them for about a year now. I think there's only larges and extra larges left.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay. Yeah, we'll see if he wants a shirt here. We have Brendan asking, more importantly, what is your extension at Blockbuster? Which I'm not really sure, you know, what he's getting at there. We know you worked at Blockbuster, of course, right? But did you have an extension there?
I believe we did have voicemails. I think we had individual voicemails, but we had to access them at work. So I think we had codes to get in so you could say I worked late, Jeff, and you were in early the next day. I could punch in and it would go to your mailbox and I'd say, hey Jeff, sorry I didn't clean up the vomit in the drama suspense section. Can you please handle that in the morning?
Wow. I don't know what's going on to Blockbusters there, but yeah.
I did have to clean up an overflowed toilet at the Collingwood location.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, never any vomit at Blockbuster, though. Well, unless you watch The Exorcist.
Man, Blockbuster is a completely different place than I thought it was, Reed.
Thank you.
Right? You know, like, I have 7-Eleven stores. I worked at 7-Eleven. Right, so we'll have to swap stories one of these days. We have Jillian on the line here, too. This is all she said here. Well, she's actually said quite a bit. But I think the main point here is Jillian wants a shirt so bad, Reed.
Jillian doesn't already have a shirt?
I don't know, but it's in all text.
Jillian's a regular listener, so give her a shirt as well. You used to have to do something to get a shirt. Now we're trying to get rid of them.
Well, no, let's not put it that way. She's worked really hard, right? She texted the show.
Let's be honest.
She's talking about other stuff. She's even got her name listed as Jillian Anderson on here, right? So that makes
Scully.
Me think of the X-Files, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I think we're
Scully.
Doing okay
I think
there.
She knows Rob Brown.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, that's not bad.
So, but the other thought I have, and we'll get to more of the messages as well. I was pondering, and maybe I hate to sound like maybe I'm overconfident, but the Oilers did beat the Kings 2 years ago. They did beat the Kings last year. They did beat them 3 out of 4 games this regular season, and they did beat them last night. And again, I would still argue that was still a pretty convincing win by the Oilers, even though the Kings did enough, forgot a couple good enough breaks to make it semi-interesting. Semi-interesting. If the Oilers assert their dominance tomorrow, are they close to having broken the Kings, for lack of a better term? I mean, if the Oilers come out again tomorrow and are strong and are dominant and dictate most of the game, and they win, even if it's, I mean, they don't have to blow them out. They don't have to score seven goals again. But if they go out there and say, hey, you know, L.A., two-thirds of the game was played the way we want to play it, and even the one-third where you guys played well, you didn't do much, or we answered right back, probably the confidence level will go up a couple more canned ham levels, especially for Dilbert. And then I wonder if there's something in LA's heads where it really becomes, oh my goodness, can we beat this team? Part of me hesitates to say that because I respect that these are all professional athletes. This is what they do for a living. They're all alpha personalities, and most of them are ultra, ultra confident.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
And they're always telling themselves how good they are, that they're better, that they can play better, they can win more, all that kind of stuff. But I just wonder if there's a point for the Kings that it gets to, how can we do it? I mean, we've tried really hard, and we've been ahead in series, and we were ahead 3-0 in a game that if we win, we're up 3-1. And we just can't figure it out. Now, who knows? Maybe in 48 hours we're going to be talking about a 1-1 series and a dominant LA win. I don't know. But I thought the Oilers made a bit of a statement last night in terms of how they played, in terms of how they played early, in terms of forcing LA to play catch-up the whole time, in terms of LA taking at least a couple, in my mind, frustration penalties, maybe three, and then the Oilers scoring on that power play. Is there a point, even if it's in the back of LA's head, even if it's just like a little bug scratching that they're not even sure it's there or what it is, but they're starting to sense something is there, does something creep into the Kings, their persona, their approach to the game? Is there something whispering to them, Edmonton is just better? And regardless of what you do, they're going to be in control of what happens in this series. I don't know. I hesitate to bring that up because I got a lot of respect for, well, all the teams, but I got a lot of respect for LA. They have players who have won the Cup. They have some really good, young, exciting players. But if Edmonton goes out there and dictates it again and gets the win, or maybe LA just says, okay, we lost road games. All we have to do is win one in Edmonton. If we win our home games, we just got to find a way to win one in Edmonton. I don't know. But that just occurred to me that, again, given the last 2 years, given how Edmonton has always been able to figure it out, and given how Edmonton plays their best game one of the three series between the two teams, are they at the point here where they can really sort of break LA? I know that's kind of a harsh way to put it, or at least plant a quickly growing seed of doubt. Maybe that's a better way to put it. The Oilers are going to be like botanists, and they've made a fast growing seed of doubt. And is that in LA's dirt right now? I don't know. Just wondering. 780-496-0063. The Capitals have pulled the goalie. It's in the last minute. We'll let you know if they're able to tie it when we get back to Inside Sports.
Listening to 630 CHED Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins.
All right, another great track off 5150. The Rangers do hang on to beat the Capitals 4-3. Rangers lead the best of 7, 2-0. Lightning and Panthers 2-2, almost 6 minutes into the third period. Avalanche and Jets just underway, like 30 seconds in, no score. I feel I need to point out there were no goals in the first 30 seconds after the way the last game went. All right, 780-496-0063. Jeff, let's see if we can get a few in here.
For sure. We're going to go back to Tube Socks here. First off, he went back to my old nickname of Walker Postgame Ranger in his message here. He says that the origins of Tube Socks is going to remain a secret forever, but he also added that Rob Brown and him and himself coached together when their kids were in novice. So he knows Rob Brown.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah. So thank there you go that. There. J-Rock texted in, and he is hearing some talk about having play-in games for the teams to get into the playoffs. He goes on to say, in his opinion, the regular season is the play-in for the playoffs already, and it's just another money grab to sell more pizza, more beers, and more overpriced tickets, Reed.
I don't know. I'm curious, and I'm not questioning him. I haven't seen that. I thought the last I saw was that the NHL does not want to do that, that they want to keep it to 16. We've talked about it as a what-if on this show, but I don't think I've seen anybody seriously talk about playoff games or play-in games. What the NBA does is teams 7 through 10 in each conference play a page playoff format tournament for the 7th and 8th seeds. So the NHL hypothetically could maybe say, okay, top 3 in each division make the playoffs, seeds 7 through 10 do a little tournament to be the two wildcard teams. I don't, as far as I know, the last I've really heard from anybody, I don't know if there's the appetite to do that in the NHL. I think they like it the way it is. They like top 8. Don't need to add an extra round. And yes, let's make the regular season really mean something, that you couldn't finish 10th and then play a couple of good games and get in. That's what I believe anyway. I don't think the NHL wants to do that at this point.
And I've heard that rumor as well, Reed, that they were, like, not that they're thinking about doing it, but that they talked about it, right? But I don't think it's going to happen either. I like the way the NHL system is as it is. Then we got a text here from Colton from Lac La Biche. Hey, Reed, I just want your opinion on the low bridge hit from Moore. I think if he hit the player, I'm thinking Moore would have got more than a two-minute minor. I think he should have gotten more. No, I'm not trying to be like Gene. Ha ha. Thanks.
It was similar to the Josh Archibald hit against Winnipeg in 2021. Archibald got suspended. I went back and watched the Archibald play. I think the Archibald play, if I had to split hairs, again, they're similar. I think the Archibald play was a little more vicious and a little more targeted. And Archibald was mad at Stanley about something and went after him, and I think really was intent as he was cutting across the ice that he was going to do something. I think Moore's was maybe a little bit more of a in-the-moment reaction, and he did something, or a little, I mean, in-the-moment decision. And I'm not defending it because it was a dirty play. He got penalized on the play. And I think Mark Spector was the first one to report that there's not going to be any supplemental discipline. Now, having said that, you can definitely make an argument that there should have been perhaps at least a fine. I would say that there should have been a fine. I mean, even if he did it in the spur of the moment, NHL players are used to thinking fast and they know what they're doing. And I think in that moment, Moore knew he was doing something that was at least a little bit over the line. And really, it shouldn't matter if it's Vinny Desharnais or Warren Fogle or Anze Kopitar or Connor McDavid. A low dangerous hit is a low dangerous hit. I would hope the league wouldn't sit there and say, oh, it's just Vinny. Like, that's not fair to any player who might potentially be hurt. So, yes, that's how I would sum that up. If it were up to me, it's probably a fine. Maybe splitting hairs a little bit. Don't think it was as vicious as what Archibald did. But, you know, no place for it in the game. But, hey, you got a penalty and the Oilers scored on it. All right. We got to go, Jeff, already.
Yeah, that's Thanks. It, Reed. Yeah, we had 2 out of 3 Van Halen spots.
Not bad.
Done there. Not bad. Not Almost bad. A Meatloaf song in there.
Thanks for filling in for Kellen Kennedy. That is Jeff Walker, your studio producer tonight. Of course, Dave Campbell is the producer of Inside Sports. Tomorrow, the face-off show will be at 6. Before that, Bob Stauffer has Oilers Now at 4, and the game after 8, it'll start, yesterday was 8:20, I believe it's going to be 8:15 tomorrow, game 2 between the Oilers and the Kings. My name's Reed, thanks for listening.